Welcome. Welcome to Jericho Road Christian Fellowship. I said welcome to Jericho Road with that sense of just, you were here for the first Sunday. I'm just praising God that He brought us this far and how faithful He is. And good stuff to be here with you this morning. If you came in late, just want to mention a few more logistics. We, of course, this is our temporary meeting place. We're shooting to be in the sanctuary, which, by the way, the doors are open on your way out. We welcome you to go through there and check it out. It's kind of got some caution tape to keep us away from the construction area. We ask you to stay on that side of the tape, but go through and check it out. It belongs to the Lord, but it's all of ours. It's home. If this is your home church, and go check it out. See what's going on over there. It's kind of exciting. It is exciting. After we're done, the coffee and donuts will be out through that door along in there. Prayer will be offered over here in the corner. When we're done, make sure you have prayer if you need it. That's kind of the basic logistics of it all right now. But we are so excited to be here. And I'm just enjoying looking around. I think I'll just look around and, you know, enjoy seeing all your faces. Just to be family together to this point. Praise God. It is good to be here. We're just thanking God to be here. But we do need to get into our study together. So let's jump in. We're going through the book of 1 Samuel, and we're in chapter 14. 1 Samuel 14 this morning. Now, the ushers have come down the aisle to make sure you have a Bible if you need one. Just raise your hand. They'll count it a privilege to pass you one. It's your Bible to keep if you need one. And for all of us, let's go to 1 Samuel 14. Once again, thank you, everybody. We're working out the logistics even as we speak. Thank you for your flexibility. And I'm sure there'll be many things that we learn from each service as we go forward. But again, the goal is to be out of here hopefully fairly soon into the new building. So just thank you for working with all that's going on. But I've seen a lot of excitement. Everybody keeps expressing encouraging words to all of us. And a lot of excitement already this morning. Well, such a blessing. 1 Samuel 14. Let's jump into verse 6. 1 Samuel 14, verse 6. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." So his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart." Then Jonathan said, "Very well, let us cross over to these men and we will show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us." So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden." Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan, his armor bearer, and said, "Come up to us, and we'll show you something." Jonathan said to his armor-bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel." And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor-bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor-bearer killed them. That first slaughter which Jonathan, his armor-bearer, made was about 20 men within about half an acre of land. God has something for us this morning in this awesome text. As you probably do, I just always just am so in awe of God's timing. His timing is always perfect. And that we've arrived at this portion of Scripture for our first Sunday up here is really, well, it's God's timing. And it is exciting. We've come to a text here in which we see God wanted to do something. In Jonathan, he found someone who was available for God to do that. God wanted to work through somebody. And in Jonathan, God finds somebody available that God could work to that end. What was true then is true today. The same is true for us and this place that God has put us. God wants to do something in our lives. God wants to do something in and through Jericho Road Christian Fellowship. In short, God is still looking for Jonathans. This morning, God has set before us a challenge. This isn't just a title for our time. This is a challenge for our lives. I've called our time, Being a Jonathan. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, thank you. Thank you for your provision, your care for us. You sent your Son to pay the price, to go to the cross, to bear our sins. Thank you that you make salvation available through the cross. And thank you, Lord, you don't stop there, but you have a work. There's things you want to do, things that we get to be a part of. Lord, this morning would you speak to our hearts? For, Lord, I know that you have us here for a purpose, individually and corporately, as a family, in this place you put us. Now, Lord, prepare us. Use this word to show us how we could be exactly who and what you have us to be. Lead us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a real quick background, as we join the children of Israel here in chapter 14, we see that they indeed have had their first king. Remember, they had been a theocracy. They were meant to be ruled directly by God. But we saw they reached the point which they didn't want that anymore. They said, instead, God, we want a king. We want to be like everybody else. Put a king over us. And so by this point, they have their first king. His name is Saul. Well, look at verse 1 here of chapter 14, and we'll see that Saul has a son named Jonathan. It says, now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he did not tell his father. Saul, as we see in these texts, and we'll be saying, was not a good king. Saul was a compromiser. He was disobedient to God. Saul was a man who'd be happy. He's just happy with a standoff with the enemy. In short, he doesn't think like a king. He doesn't act like a king. And he'll turn out to not be a good king at all. But he has a son, Jonathan, who gets it. He's not like his dad at all. Jonathan isn't satisfied to settle for the status quo. Jonathan isn't satisfied to let the enemy have territory that he shouldn't have. So unlike his father, the son is going to turn out to be a man of great faith and a man who trusts in God. Now, the situation directly is this. The Philistines have gathered to fight against the children of Israel. The Philistines are over at this place called Michmash, and the Israelites are in Gibeah. Jonathan surveys the situation, and then he's led to do something about it. Let's go back and look again now and work our way through it. Verse 6. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. So his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart. Then Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men and we'll show ourselves to them. So basically saying, okay, here's what we're going to do, he says. If they say to us, wait until we come up to you, then we will stand still in our place, not go up to them. Okay, if they say that, then we'll assume that God doesn't want to do anything on this particular day in this way. Verse 10, but if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. We have before us this morning such a great, awesome, challenging, encouraging text. I love it. Here's just two guys going for it. Really, one guy and his armor bearer. Just going for it. Now, let me settle one thing. Are they foolishly tempting God here? Are they putting God to the test? Is that what's happening? No. To tempt God is to ask God to endorse your plans. When we're tempting God, it's to say, okay, God, here's what I want you to do. Now, you rubber stamp it. You better bless it. I'm going to do it. That's not what we're going to do. Remember Jesus in Matthew 4, 5 through 7. Remember Jesus said, then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him, that's Jesus, on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. I say that to make sure you understand this, because what's Jesus saying here? Faith isn't just doing your own thing and asking God to endorse it. Don't you leave here today and just go jump off a building and say, okay, God, catch me. If you jump off a building and God has not called you to do it, you have an appointment with the ground. That's tempting God, and you're not called to do that. Don't mistake that for faith. That's presumption. To tempt God is to presume upon God. But on the other hand, real faith seeks God's will. It wants God's will to be done, not our own. But so notice, here we have these two guys, and they basically say what? Let's go over there and see if God wants to do something. But we'll never know if we don't go. So he says, let's just go and give God a chance to do. They are seeking his will. They're setting the whole thing up simply to give God an opportunity to reveal what he wants to do. Now look at verse 6. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, let's go over to the garrison of the uncircumcised, that's the unbelievers, the Philistines. It may be the Lord will work for us. Where's Jonathan's focus here? Is he looking to his ability? Make sure we see that. He says it clearly. It may be that the Lord will work for us. What Jonathan recognizes, what I want us to all make sure we understand, is God is looking for availability, not ability. God is God, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing. God isn't standing there saying, gosh, I'm going to work, but I'm just too weak. I wish I had somebody strong enough to do something. I wish I had somebody smart enough to figure it out. That's not where God's at. And yet he chooses to work in and through people. He's looking for availability. But see, therein lies the problem for us. God often places something on our heart, a desire on our heart. We begin to get a sense that he wants to do something in or through our lives. We feel led to go in some particular direction. We would like to see God work in some area, right? We'd like to see that. But what do we tend to do? We start to feel like, well, maybe God might want to do this, or I feel like maybe he's wanting to do that. Well, what do? Right away, we try to figure out how we can do it. We get a sense he might want to do something, so what do? Okay, well, I better go back to school, and I got to get my money saved. We start figuring out, okay, God wants it, but I better do it, actually. And that's what we start doing. We begin to analyze. We begin to look at our abilities instead of looking at our God. Consider the text here. Jonathan doesn't say, okay, let's start practicing our swordsmanship here. If we're going to go fight, we better get better at it. We don't read that. It's important to see that it isn't about ability when it comes to being a Jonathan. Again, it's about our availability. Therefore, your lack of ability do not disqualify you from being used, from being a Jonathan. If you sit there saying, well, God could never use me, or I'm not trained or something, then that's you get the wrong take on it. It's about being available. Notice what Jonathan says here at the last part of verse 6. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. Now, you probably could have gone around Israel and had a show of hands and asked people, how many people here believe that God can do things, that God can work, whether it's by many or by few? And probably a lot of people said, yeah, God can work by many or by few. But he's not going to be able to do it if somebody didn't do something. They all sat there. They weren't doing anything. They would have believed that, but they weren't going up there to see if God wanted to deliver them, if God wanted to give a victory. They would agree to it mentally, but Jonathan puts that faith to action. Faith is believing that God can do what he says he will do. Faith is getting our eyes off of us and on to him. Jonathan had faith. He says, nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. But then he's available for God to do it. The only thing that restrains God from working is if no one is available. If no one responds. If we just sit on the couch and say, yes, God can do it, I believe he can do it. But if we don't get up, how's he going to do that? How are they going to hear unless someone is sent, the Bible says. Someone's got to be that person. Someone's got to be available. Someone has to step up and say, here I am, send me. Now, it's very possible Jonathan's armor bearer could have taken a whole different tack to this. He could have said, Jonathan, are you nuts? What are you thinking? Now, why do I say that? Go back to chapter 13 for just a moment. Look at verse 5. Look at chapter 13, verse 5. Then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. Do you get to look at it, the opposition? Do you get to look at it, the task, and say, whoa, I could never do that? But that's our problem. I could never do that. And his armor bearer said, Johnson, have you looked over there? There's thousands of them. Johnson, what are you thinking? You're going to get us killed. But that isn't what happens, is it? The question here is this. See, Johnson knows nothing restrains the Lord. We can face obstacles that look too big for us. And by the way, they go on to get victory over about 20 guys. They don't have to defeat all the thousands. But in their defeating the 20, it's going to encourage all the other Israelites. And they're going to step up and go to battle. And they're going to rout the Philistines. But someone had to be the wedge that broke the way. Someone had to step out and lead. And that's what they become available to do. God can do anything. But Jonathan says God may want to do this. The question is, does God want to do something? And Jonathan says, well, let's go find out. We're not going to tempt him. We'll give him the opportunity to open or close the door as he chooses. But let's be available. He just may want to work in this particular circumstance. That's a place that many of us find ourselves in often, isn't it? We have a sense God wants to work. We know God can work. We want Him to work. But the question is, but does He want to? What does He want to do in my circumstances? What does He want to do in my life? What does He want to do through my life? That's often the case. We know He can, but does He want to? So what do? We take what Pastor Chuck Smith calls a venture in faith. You give God a chance to do something. We step out and give God a chance to work. You, all of us, and wherever He might have us, we step out and give God a chance to work there. I remember we were up at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. I was on staff there just a number of years ago with Pastor Chuck, who God used to raise up the Calvary Chapel movement. But I remember a particular time when Pastor Chuck began to get on his heart the desire to do an outreach. They had a young man, Greg Laurie, who had a church out in Riverside, but he had a definite gift of evangelism. So Chuck said, you know, Greg, I want to rent the Pacific Amphitheater for a night. I want you to come down and do evangelistic message, and let's just see what God does. Let's just see if God wants to use it. Chuck had a feeling that God wanted to, but let's find out. So they rented the Pacific Amphitheater. It went really well. Next time around, they go, wow, that went great. So they got it for like 3 nights the next time around. Packed the place out. The neighborhoods were packed. Cars everywhere. Really a hit. It grew so much that they had to go and rent Angel Stadium and pack the stadium out. And since then, the Harvest Crusades have gone on to just be in several cities. It's going on to a whole Harvest America thing over the internet. Now, what am I saying? At the beginning, Chuck didn't sit down and say, well, here's what's going to happen. Let's do one night, and then that'll go well. Let's do three. That'll go well. Let's rent some stadiums. Let's put on the internet. He didn't know all that. All he had a sense was, God wants to do something. Let's find out. And then you let God work it out. You let God go before you and do it. But He wants to use somebody to do that. That's just how we set it up. I wonder what God wants to do through us. I wonder what God wants to do through Jericho Road Christian Fellowship. He's got us here for a purpose, but it's going to take availability and risking it and going for it that we might discover what that is. What if we step out and it doesn't work? Well, what if the door closes? That's okay. Maybe God doesn't want to do that particular thing at that particular place, that particular time. That's okay. There'll be times you might make a mistake. Wow, God wasn't in that. But that's okay. You got to give Him a chance to, in case He is in it, in case He does want to move in that situation. You know, we can find ourselves playing it so safe that we miss out on seeing God work. And even just as bad, we miss out on being a part of that work. So go for it. You sense God nudge you in some way, talking to someone, being part of the children's ministry or something? Go for it and let Him show. Let Him show if His hand's on that or not, if He wants to do that. But we miss out so often when we're afraid of, well, what if He's not? Well, what would have been the worst thing? If they say, we're coming down to you, then He would have said, uh-oh, God's not in it. We're out of here. But in His going, He got to hear God do, see, and do awesome things and all that. Look at verse 7. Look at the armor bearer's response. Do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here I am with you according to your heart. That is such a key. He's not saying... See, this started between Jonathan and God, this whole thing, this adventure. And it wasn't something Jonathan thought up, but it was something God put on Jonathan's heart. It's a result of the relationship Jonathan had with God. And the armor bearer realizes that. And he says, do what's on your heart. See, that's always the key. What we do should be a byproduct of our relationship with God. An expression on the horizontal of the vertical work of God. But to be available so that when we get a sense He wants to do something or He's nudging us in some way, that He finds us not arguing it, debating it, holding back, but saying, hey, let's go try it. Let's go try that door handle. Maybe it's locked, but maybe it's open, meaning maybe God wants to open a door here. But we got to do it to find out. And when you do that, be prepared. There's oftentimes other people aren't going to understand. Like I said, Jonathan's armor bearer could look at Jonathan and say, you're nuts. There's thousands of guys there. What are you doing? You know, I hear this so often. Someone's called and they feel like God's sending them out as a missionary. There are those amongst us who can probably testify to this, who've gone out like that. And what do you often hear from relatives and friends? What are you doing? You're wasting your life. You could be so productive. Think of the money you won't make. Think of the hardship you'll face. And people don't understand this so often. But if you just know that you know, but yeah, but God's nudging me. He wants to do something. Now, I want to be a part of it. So you don't look to others' understanding. He couldn't look to his dad's understanding, that's for sure. His dad was going to be selfish. His dad was disobedient. His dad didn't care about any of this other stuff, about God's stuff. He couldn't go to his dad about it. But he knew his God. Jonathan knew God. And that God could do it. And so off he goes to give God a chance to work. My main goal for this morning is this. If you're being a Jonathan, awesome. If you're sometimes a Jonathan, then you've tasted. Be open to being more of a Jonathan. But the point this morning is, what could we do to be more like Jonathans, individually and collectively? To be open. God wants to work all around us. There are the lost around us. There are the hurting around us. We want to be that inn on Jericho Road that Jesus pointed to where people can come and find healing and restoration. What might your part be in that? To speak to someone about what's available to them, the healing and the hope and all. How might God want to do that? On what basis can we go forward as Jonathans? Do we have any real support for this? Well, first of all, if we're going to go out, we have to know and trust the character of God. As we dig into His Word together, it's through the Word of God we get to know the author of the Word of God. But as we get to know Him, we see we can trust Him. We get to know His character, and that's the important part if we're going to be Jonathans, that I can trust Him. Next, we need to be assured of His sufficiency. That when God calls, He does enable. He does empower. It's not about us. Remember what Jonathan said, what? Nothing restrains the Lord. And thirdly, it means being very open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit nudges us to go for it, may we be like Jonathan and say, let's go. I sense God might want to show him. Let's go find out. You know, and we all have our own personal journeys and our experiences in these things and things that have increased our faith. I know years ago, Kathy and I really felt like the Lord leading us in a particular area, a couple areas in our lives, that He has since brought to pass. But at the time, I remember we could look at it and go like, well, how's that going to happen? But I will let you know something. God gave me an awesome armor bearer a co-laborer here, because she's just, amen. Glory to God. Because she's always been like, hey, let's go for it. It's on your heart, let's try it. And so, and that, it's such a privilege to travel with someone doing that. Maybe you're called to be an encourager to someone else. It's so important that happens. But I'm just pointing out that we've learned his faithfulness, and so it really encourages. I know for years, when we were up at the larger church, Kathy and I had the privilege of overseeing the Mexico outreach up there. What that meant was we used to every month, at least, go down into Mexico to orphanages and villages. And we took a large group, big church, a lot of people, big caravan of cars, lots of food and clothing, took the Bibles, preached the message and all down there. It was an awesome time. But I say that to say this. Back then, going over the border was always an adventure. You're taking a large group with a lot of items. You never knew what you were going to encounter at the border, whether they would let you over, what they were going to ask from you, which we never paid, but that whole idea of would they turn you around, it was always that case. And sometimes people would worry about that. They'd worry about it. And people would actually tell us, don't bother going. The border's really tight. They're not letting people over. It's just, you're going to go for nothing. Why bother? Don't go. But we always went. Because we learned, if you don't go, how's God going to do anything? God's not going to be able to get you over if you're not there at the border. It's in the going that you get to find out if he's in it or not. Don't let people rule it out. Do what God's put on your heart and go for it and see it. Just see what he does. And if the door was closed when we got there, if that were to happen, then okay, he wants to do something else. Find out. But I don't know how many times people would tell us that. Don't bother. We say, well, no, we're going to go. Let's give God a chance. And it is so awesome to watch him get us over. And it's such a faith builder. It's awesome to watch when God does that kind of thing. Go for it. Whatever it might be, do it. So, must move along here. They head off to the Philistines' camp. What happened next? Look at verse 11. So both of them show themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden. Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will show you something. Let's pause for a moment. The men of the garrison called to Jonathan. And they said what? They said the second option. The option, if you will, that he had told his armor bearer, if they say this, then that means God's in it and going to give us the victory. They walk up, they show themselves, and the guys go, come on up and we'll show you something. Think about Jonathan's heart at that moment. Before they go the rest of the way, before the victory occurs, what he sees though is, look, an open door. God is in this. It's exactly what he showed us. Come on, let's go for it. Those are such exciting moments, such exciting times when God puts something on your heart and you go forward and you begin to see it coming together. He does something that only God can do and you get to be a part of it. Think of Jonathan right at that moment. What's he say? Come up after me. Come on. The Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. It's a done deal. We just got to go live it out now. And so they go for it. Jonathan sees that God is in the work. And so let's look what happens next, verse 13. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. Hold it, hold it. Wait a minute. Wait a minute here. Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees. Wait a minute. I thought if God was in something, it was smooth sailing. What's this climbing on the hands and knees stuff, Lord? When you are Jonathan, it doesn't mean smooth sailing. There'll be lots of times of hand and knees climbing. There will be battles, spiritual battles. There'll be physical exertion, perhaps exhaustion at times. There may be emotional pain that you go through as a Jonathan. There'll be a whole lot of personal challenges before us. And again, always great spiritual battles. He was in it. The victory was going to be theirs, but they still had to climb and they had to fight. But look at verse 14. That first slaughter which Jonathan, his armor bearer, made was about 20 men within about half an acre of land. Yeah, there's crawling on your hands and knees. There's doing battle. There's getting out of a comfort zone. But there's a victory. They got the victory. Make sure we see that. That's what we want. We want that in our lives and through our lives. To answer the call to be a Jonathan does not mean everything is going to be easy. But you will never regret doing it if you go for it. And you will experience things, you will get to see things, be a part of things that those who don't go never experience. We don't get to see God working and being a part of God's working sitting on our couch near like we do when we say, Lord, here I am, use me. And Lord, I feel like you're nudging me here. I feel like you're telling me to go speak to that person, go be part of that outreach, part of that group, or wherever it is. That's the calling and that's the blessing. God goes on to use all this, as I mentioned, to cause the Philistines to flee, the children of Israel to get a great victory. You know, it is a sad thing as a sidelight. Saul, through his attitude, his lack of doing nothing, his disobedience and everything else, caused the enemies of God, the Philistines, to get a view of God. Well, your God's not very capable. Your God must not be very strong. We see what they think of them when they said, what? Look, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes. We got Hebrews coming out of holes where they've been hiding. Because that's the, and think what that impression gave to the Philistines. But think of their impression after Jonathan was done with them. Same for us. What impression are we giving of our God when we stay on the couch or hold back or are afraid? People conclude, well, their God's not very powerful or something. But when we are available, we have a great God. And he wants to work in and through us. And people start to say, whoa, he is a great God. Look what he's doing there. Look how he's touching, healing, whatever's going on in that situation. What if Jonathan hadn't gone for it at all? He goes on to be the catalyst to a great victory. He gets to be part of this great victory. But what if he hadn't gone for it at all? The key here, Jonathan's faith is in God and in God's ability. Jonathan's part, his availability. This morning, apply all this to us personally and collectively for a moment. How might God be telling you to go for it? And when you feel that, what's your response to it? Availability or argument and analyzing and missing out? We have a great God. He's a big God. And we don't have to figure all those parts out that are his. We just need to be available. How might you and I be more of a Jonathan? Again, if you're being a Jonathan, awesome. But if it's part-time, make it full-time. And for all of us, individually and collectively. See, how might God want to use us as a Jonathan fellowship? Now they're up here. That's what our prayer should be, an openness to being in these days ahead. Remember, our part isn't to see all of God's plan. That's not the calling. Our part is to see, figure out how God's going to do it. That's not the Jonathan's part. It's to have faith and be available. If you're being that way, keep it up. But if not, the Lord wants to encourage you to consider it. Be available. Have faith. Because I believe God wants to do some awesome things around here. How about you? I trust that you do. I pray he'll give us all the vision that he does. I know he got us here for a purpose. The buildings and all are a vessel. Awesome that he's given it. But it's a vessel for God to use to touch lives. To be that place of salvation and healing and restoration for people. Whatever the specifics of that are, let's be Jonathans that we might find out. God is looking for Jonathans. I see a bunch of Jonathans. So let's go forward as Jonathans together and see what God wants to do. Again, as being that place of healing and restoration, as people travel their road to Jericho. I'm going to invite the worship team up as you wrap it up. Again, as we wrap it up this morning, if you need prayer, there'll be prayer over here at the far corner. Thank you for your flexibility as we work out all the logistics and all around here. We're going to spend some time worshiping the Lord, responding to what we just heard. And maybe it's a time for you to say, Lord, maybe a Jonathan or maybe more of a Jonathan during that time. That's fine to do that. I encourage you to do that. But for all of us, let's respond to God's goodness. Lord, that's exactly what we want to do in this time. We're excited about being here. We're excited about your work. And Lord, it's awesome to watch your timing that we've come to this text. Knowing, Lord, that you are at work and want to work, search our hearts, Lord, and help us all to just every day, in every place, in every way, be Jonathans. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.